Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. Thank you for tuning in today. CCTA, Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, and we used to be Craven County Taxpayers Association years ago, and we broadened our reach and restructured, and now we cover all of Coastal Carolina. We try to get into Pamlico County, Carter County, Jones County, Beaufort County, Pitt County, and, you know, Onslow. That's the other one, Onslow County.
Right.
So we're trying to reach out to the Coastal Carolina area with the conservative voice and conservative news. We give you our conservative opinions, but we always back up our opinions with source information. When we're usually talking about a topic and telling you, trying to give you what we consider to be the facts, it's because we have sources where we get that information. So it's not an opinion show all the time. We do share facts with you. We're an educational organization. We try to educate people on conservative values, on the founding of our country, our Constitution, and other founding documents. We give away free constitutions, and we love to hold book studies and classes on some of the books that we study. And we will,
by the time this broadcast, we will have finished our Miracle of America down there at the Freedom Baptist Church in Havelock.
Yeah, so we got a little behind because of the storm and all, the Miracle of America, we've been holding that class now. It's a book study, DVD videos it's led by, and we've been holding that at Freedom Baptist Church in Havelock, and we're going to follow that up. I think we're going into Pamlico County, maybe. And
well, we've had several churches show an interest in having the classes at their church, and we have several options, and Nancy Brinkley, our chairman, will be making some decisions about what she wants to do next, but she's indicated she's really anxious to continue the trend that we started there.
That, and she suggested slipping in Rules for Radicals, which is very short.
Right.
Saul Alinsky's wicked little book in between the two.
Well, that's our educational branch, and we're going to be getting into some things here in the near future. I've been thinking about and researching and all. You know, the problem with America today, and the reason we have to make America great again, mm-hmm. instead of still being great, why did we lose that greatness? I want to touch on some of those things in some of our presentations, meetings in the near future. There's a lot of things that can be attributed to that. It's not one little thing here or there or four or five things. It's a lot of things. It's our education system, what's been going on with our youth. It's our...
may I interrupt you, Rick?
Sure.
Because I think that one is a huge one.
It is.
I don't think it's just this current generation that doesn't understand our founding history, our founding documents, the principles this country's based on. I think it's two or three generations back to maybe somebody in their early 50s. It is really, really bad how many people don't know and do not know that they don't know.
Right, right. And, well, you know, you had the First World War, and you had the Depression, and you had the Second World War. And then after that, there was just so much abundance that came on us, so much progress that all happened at once. And we grew and grew and grew, prosperity. We went from having a mule to having an automobile. And then we went to having two automobiles because now we had the breadwinner, and now we had another breadwinner. And they both needed transportation, you know. Yes, Diane.
Let's not forget our open borders.
Borders.
Our population has been diluted with, you know, aliens, foreigners who are new to our country, lots of them, and don't know a thing about our country.
But
I don't think they want to know. They come in waving foreign flags.
We don't require it. We don't require any kind of training or education or, you know, a program to be assimilated.
That's not because we have the foreigners, because we've always had foreigners. We were all foreigners. Right. The problem is there's been an intentional plan to destroy the framework, the structure of our country. Yeah. And it started, you know, we'll look at the foundation of our country, God and morals, values, all that stuff's gone. And I just want to get into some conversations about that down the road. We will. You know, it's very, here's one thing that really bothers me all the time. The people that are against religion, what they did to Judge Roy Moore, the Ten Commandments issue. I can't understand that concept, because think about having the Ten Commandments. If you want to take one or two out because of God, then go ahead. You know, I'm not saying it's all right. I'm just saying for the sake of this argument. And look at the rest of them. So you got 8 commandments. What is it about them that you're so against?
Because, you mean like don't kill and don't steal?
Don't steal, don't lie, you know. If everybody followed the Ten Commandments, they wouldn't have anything to complain about. And I don't see why they can't understand that, Diane.
I remember that case. That case is, it was with Moore down, you know, where he is. They had the Ten Commandments in the courtroom, and an attorney representing clients that were, a lot of them were atheist, didn't believe the Judeo-Christian. And when they saw the Ten Commandments in the courtroom, they felt slighted. They felt like somehow they can't get a fair hearing because they don't believe, obviously, as maybe the court, the judges in that courtroom. So they wanted a neutral courtroom. That's what they sued. They wanted out because they felt a certain pressure. They wouldn't be treated fairly. While George Moore said, you know, this is not necessarily a statement of Judeo-Christian values. It's to remind us judges of our moral obligation and of our duty to serve. And it reminds us to do right. And so he insisted on keeping it there. And not only that, he think he ordered a larger set of Ten Commandments, and he had that installed into the courtroom right in front of it. And he refused to give way to what he believed. He believed that it was necessary. It was not about pushing one religion over another. It was about the state's right to want to do the right thing for the community,
right,
through the court system.
Well, Diane, you're a lawyer, and you've studied constitutional law and everything else. How many laws does this country have on the books now? And I know you don't have it hundreds? Is it thousands?
It's probably much more than that.
Tens of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands
of laws.
Yeah.
The Ten Commandments covered all of it. If you could just get your neighbors to follow the Ten Commandments, you'd have nothing to worry about.
Well, if each of us just did it ourselves.
They're not going to lie to you. They're not going to cheat you. They're not going to steal from you. Mm-hmm. They're not going to murder you, you know.
How pleasant is that?
I don't understand it. It's just
that's right. Most of those laws are because people are doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And if they had some kind of guidance, maybe if they looked at the Ten Commandments, or they gone to church, or maybe paid attention to what their parents were teaching them when they grew up, you know, maybe they wouldn't be doing the wrong thing. Hence, we wouldn't need this.
Bingo.
All these laws.
Bingo. You know? You just nailed it on the head there. If parents were teaching them that today. Parents have dropped the ball.
No. Also, parents are doing a bad job.
Churches have dropped the ball too, because they've been so busy trying to conform to society,
right, mm-hmm,
instead of getting society to conform to the values of the church, that they've just, you can't tell much difference between them and the rest of the world. Howe, I see you got your hand
up. Yeah, in the early days of our nation, when everybody understood the Christian values and the, you know, Judeo-Christian values, right? They, for a number of years, most people understood the Constitution, and there were only a few laws passed. I think like the first 100 years, there probably maybe only 20 or so, a very small number of laws. But then they got to where they tried to cover every conceivable situation with some precedent, I guess, and then they began to snowball, and now you end up with all these laws, hundreds, as you said, hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, there's man's law will never be or come up to a par with God's law because he covered it all in those Ten Commandments. Well, I introduce you to CCTA and what we're all about and what we're trying to do and why we're here. Let me introduce our panel tonight. We have Hal James is CCTA chairman.
Hey, folks.
He's also chairman of our watchdog committee, which is responsible for keeping an eye on our electric elected officials and making sure that they're living up to what they promised you when they were campaigning. We have Rainer James. She's our state legislative action committee chairman.
Hey, Rick.
And she also does a great job on getting our page in the County Compass newspaper put together and in there every week. We have with us Diane Rufino. Diane is from Pitt County.
Hello.
So she's representing the ENCT party also, right?
Yep.
You were one of the co-founders of that, I believe.
Yes, since 2009.
Okay. Diane is also a scholar of the Constitution. She studied under Judge Napolitano, lawyer, teacher, mother, wife, and goes on and on. She's got all kinds of qualifications there. We're glad to have Diane with us. And when we come back from a break, Diane is going to share what she experienced when she was recently in Washington, D.C. At the Supreme Court. So we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites, like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government. to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Have you got a topic you'd like to hear discussed on CCTA Wake Up Call? Well, then contact us at cctaxpayers.com or email Hal at cctaxpayers.com. That's Hal, H-A-L, at cctaxpayers.com. We're a conservative talk radio show, but we value your opinion and would love to have you join us. Again, contact Hal at cctaxpayers.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and again, our panel of Hal and Rainer James and Diane Ruffino. Diane, you just returned from a trip in to D.C.
Two trips, actually.
Two trips. It takes two to...
Three's a charm, so I'm waiting to go back.
Tell us what you were up there for.
Well, as usual, I love D.C. It's one of my favorite cities. It's so exciting and exuberant. I went there with my husband, had a couple of seminars to go to, and I just like to walk around the city. I love history, and I haven't seen everything. Some things I've seen many times just because I like it, but I like to walk around the mall. Mall's filled with our history, and I like to, for example, this past time I went on the mall, I went to the Founders Garden. I think it's the Founders Garden. Big pond, and they have where the signers of the Declaration are. So I went, I happened to notice, you know, who all the signers of the Declaration were, which ones from which state, what their positions were, who signed it, all that kind of stuff. And then there's a part where there's signers of the Constitution. But this was something new I had seen, as opposed to last time. I went to the Supreme Court, I went to the National Archives building where I saw the original Declaration of Independence. I saw one of four remaining original Magna Cartas. Absolutely, I was blown away. This is the roots of our bill, our Bill of Rights, and the original Bill of Rights as it came out from our first U.S. Congress. And, you know, I don't know how many, if you all know, but there were 12 original amendments. They went to the states, and the states ratified 10. The 12th Amendment, sometimes they take a long time to go through and be ratified by the states. That 12th Amendment from 1788 or 1789, whenever the first Congress sat, was finally ratified as the 27th Amendment. So it took well over 100 years to be passed. But to see those documents was absolutely phenomenal. A lot of them are faded terribly, but I'm sure under the UV light, whatever they do, they can still read what it says. The Declaration of Independence has such tiny handwriting, and I was trying to imagine Thomas Jefferson just sitting there and writing, but it's just this penmanship is beautiful, but very, very tiny and just slanted perfectly. It's just beautiful. But that was fantastic to see. We went to the Library of Congress. There's a section that Thomas Jefferson, his books are. And the history of the Library of Congress, it was very interesting. I think first it was in the, I forgot where it was, but it burnt down. I think it burnt down. And then Thomas Jefferson offered his library. And he was going bankrupt anyway. He sold it, and they purchased it. All his manuscripts are there, and all his books. And then there was another fire, and it burnt one third of his books up.
Oh gosh!
And so they're slowly replacing the books. They're not the original, but they are at least what he would have had in his library. So you have a complete library of what he was reading.
to gain all that fantastic knowledge that he had. And his knowledge was, I mean, he loved music, he loved cooking, he loved poetry. His interests were all over the place. And you look at these books and, you know, he's reading Cicero and he's reading all the greats from Greek history and Roman history. His interests were all over the place.
If you go up to Monticello, or Monticello, however you want to pronounce it, you can see all the ingenuity that he had and so many things around him, that the clock that had the weight that went all the way down through the floor and down to the basement.
Exactly.
It's just wonderful and things that he did.
And he invented a machine. He's also, you know, brilliant as a, you know, patented different inventions. But he created this one thing where when he wrote a letter, it was connected to a second pen, and as he wrote one letter, it made an identical copy on another sheet of paper. So he kept one copy, and then he mailed it. So you always wonder how the collection of Jefferson's letters, he had so many hundreds of them. Like, what did he do? Ask for the letters back? But no, but it's this invention that he had.
Yeah. All right. All that is so interesting. As a young teenager, my sister lived in Arlington, Virginia. Mm-hmm. And when school was out in the summer every year for 2 to 3 weeks, I would go up and stay with her. And back then, now I'm just, well, I wasn't even a teenager when I started doing it. You go down to the corner, get on the bus, go over into D.C., get off the bus as a kid by myself in big Washington, D.C., walk around, go to the FBI building, the Smithsonian, the archives, anywhere I wanted to go, to the Mint. The Mint was one of my... Yep. favorites. I remember standing up on the catwalk up there, looking down at stacks and stacks and stacks of $100 bills. And, you know, just it was.
That's like my house, you know.
Yeah, right.
What was it like to go to the Supreme Court? No. I don't think I've ever been in that.
Well, I've been to the Supreme Court. I went last December, December 5th, for the arguments for the Phillips case, the Christian Baker. We got there early enough, but we couldn't get in because it's a first come, first serve. We were there early enough, but not early enough to get in. And even if you do get in, you're only allowed to sit there for 15 minutes.
No kidding.
Yes, this is what I learned. 15 minutes, then they move you in so that another group can come in. They sit for 15 minutes. So you don't really get to hear the whole case. So I don't know if I would have wanted to go in anyway. Because I'm one of those entirety type people. I want to know what the questions are so I know I can kind of feel where the gist of the case is and what the opinion might come down as. But I did go this time. I did go into the Supreme Court, the courtroom this time. The Supreme Court building, it's a self-guided tour. You can just go in and look around yourself. And the bottom floor is a museum, so you could see busts of all the... former Chief Justice, very, very interesting. A lot of portraits, and they have a huge display to John Marshall, the first, well, not the first Chief Justice, but very important in the Marbury versus Madison case, McCulloch versus Maryland, Cones versus Virginia. These are really landmark, you know, important landmark cases. And then you can go upstairs, and it's a tiny, it's not the courtroom I thought it would be. It's, I don't know, the sets of columns nice. The chairs are kind of dingy. You know, I don't know. It didn't do it for me, but I learned a lot about the Supreme Court and how it works. Now, the Supreme Court, and we all look to the Supreme Court because that's the guiding wisdom, right? We shouldn't have to necessarily take it for granted that they know best, that they can interpret best, but it is what it is. So the Supreme Court, the almighty Supreme Court, gets about 7,000 requests to hear a case every year. In the end, they choose between 70 and 80, right? So they have to review all these cases and decide which ones they're going to take. They'll take maybe another 13 and they'll decide without issuing an opinion. They'll just meet amongst themselves and just come up with a decision.
That's only 1 or 2%, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I remember one of those was not to hear our, or whatever they came at on our voter ID, remember? Mm-hmm. So what they do is they meet and they look at the issue. And then if out of 9, you would think it would take a majority, right? You'd think it takes 5 to agree to hear a case. It takes 4. If 4 agree that they should take the case, they'll hear it. All right. So they'll whittle the cases down that way. And the cases they'll take
or if it's one that is a current issue, a constitutional issue, or federal issue that's kind of hot, you know, that needs to be decided on, they'll take it. They'll also take a case. If you look, there's 13 appellate courts, all right, the circuit courts. And if, say, the Ninth Circuit out by California decides that marriage is a fundamental right, hence you can't deny homosexual couples. And yet then you have another circuit, maybe the Fourth Circuit out by us, saying marriage is not a fundamental right, and that hence states do reserve the right to regulate it, which is really what our understanding was up until the Obergefell decision. But okay, so you take two different areas of the country, the circuit courts, when they start differing, the Supreme Court says, well, we have to have uniformity, so we'll take those cases. And that's why they took the Obergefell case, because there were differing circuit court opinions over the country.
And you are highlighting what is so important about the judicial races in the election, mm-hmm. why people need to know who these judges are that mm-hmm. they're electing, because that's where it goes. It goes right on up the line. Now, would you clarify for our listeners that the Supreme Court does not make law?
The Supreme Court does not make law.
They issue opinions.
They issue opinions. And I think we all remember, well, no, we don't remember because we were never taught that. But you'll be taught it on this show tonight. Federalist 78, written by Alexander Hamilton, went into the role of the judiciary. Has neither sword nor shield. It can do nothing but render an opinion. And the opinion was to enlighten the other branches to prevent them from doing something unconstitutional. They still had the right or the power to go ahead with what they were doing. If they wanted to pass a law that the Supreme Court said was probably unconstitutional, they could still say, no, my understanding of the Constitution is that this is constitutional. It's just to put a pause, right. Make them rethink, and remember, they're working for the American people. They have to keep the integrity of their Constitution, their rule of law, do the right thing. And
That's
just a pause to do the right thing, maybe reconsider, maybe reword it, think about it. Go ahead.
And that's why our educational branch is so important to CCTA, is because I think so many of the people today under the misconception that the Supreme Court is the final rule. They are the ones that make the law. Whatever they say goes. And no, that's not true. But they haven't learned that, as you said. We've got to take another break to hear from our sponsors. Hal, I saw you had your hand up, but we'll come back after the break.
And I did too.
Okay. But before I go, I got to tell you this story. My granddaughter will kill me, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Her school class, they had a trip to go to D.C., and they had an itinerary. And part of the itinerary was to visit the mall. Well, I can't tell you how excited she was that they were going to go to the mall. She had no idea what the mall in D.C. was.
She thought she was going shopping.
She was prepared for the best shopping trip she'd ever been on.
Yeah, Cinnabon, you know, Belk's, Macy's.
She was really disappointed. Well, we got to take a break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back after that.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, Diane was telling us about her recent trip to the Supreme Court and other areas of Washington, D.C. Diane, when you walk through all of the buildings there, is there any doubt to you that this is a Christian nation based upon the inscriptions on the walls and the paintings? And
No doubt at all. It's definitely part of our heritage.
No, it is now. Yeah. And so the reason I bring that up is because there's such an effort to erase that heritage, you know, with monuments, tearing them down and wanting to get rid of things that were part of our founding. Everything's not beautiful. There's good and bad to the founding of our nation. Mm-hmm. We made mistakes, yes. We corrected those mistakes. But to have all of our history erased and our heritage done away with because you don't agree with it, that's just not right.
I mean, you don't see the Romans taking down the Colosseum because they used to slaughter people there, Christians in there, you know. They don't take down their other monuments because they were pagan rituals. It's part of their history, and they preserve it, and it's on display. They take pride in it.
Right.
And in this country yet, they want to...
Not everybody.
You know.
Yeah. Rainer?
I want to get back to something Diane said a minute ago. You were talking about the Supreme Court issuing opinions, trying to get the other two branches of government to perhaps reconsider. Mm-hmm. In the past, you've mentioned the fact that the Constitution is really a compact or a contract, the states giving certain of their powers to the federal government.
Right.
And you have mentioned that under contract law, neither party unilaterally decides anything. So, by corollary, it would seem to me that the Supreme Court can't push something down the state's throats. It has to be something that's mutually acceptable because the Supreme Court is part of the federal government, and that's only one party to the compact.
No,
it's
not
right?
A party at all. No, the government's not a party at all. The federal government, it's a creation, right? It's a creature,
okay.
Right? Talk
a little bit more about that, if
so
you will.
So, a compact... The Constitution is called a social compact. It's a compact specifically in the arena when, with populations, humans, when they want to create a society. So they create a society, but they have to have some kind of governing law, some kind of a set of laws where they all obey a certain way. It's guidelines. So there's certain, the conduct is uniform, right? I want to be able to go to work and make money, but I also have the right to, you know, protect my property from any invaders, so no theft, right? But I can't go to work yet and stay home and protect my property. People get together, they delegate their right to protect their properties, and they give that power to the police on behalf of the people. The police do what the people can do, is protect their property. So So that's a compact. That's what a government is created by a constitution. And that's a social compact. And it has the nature of a contract because it's created by agreement. The people have to agree. In our case, the states in specially organized conventions reviewed the Constitution and they either ratified it or they did not. So the Constitution, as I said, it creates government. So the government, the federal government, is a creation. It's not a party to the contract or to the compact. The states themselves are the parties. Now, you don't have to say all agree. All the states don't have to, for secession, say, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just using that as, you know, one state doesn't have to ask permission from the others to say, I want to secede.
Because they went in freely, they can decide to come out freely.
Yes. And also because when they ratified the compact, the states reserved, three of them did, Virginia, Rhode Island, and New York, reserved the right to resume their powers back. It's called a resumption clause. But it says, basically, we reserve the right to retake or resume all our powers and leave the, you know, and leave
that
the
was
union.
Part of their ratification convention.
Yes, and because those states were allowed to come into the union, no one said, no, that condition has to go away. They freely accepted the ratification with that condition. That condition applies to every other state. So every other state, all 50 states, by compact, have the right to resume their powers and leave the union whenever they want. Now, this is not what Lincoln would have ever told you. This is not what anybody would have ever told you. But these are the facts. You can go back to all the ratification conventions. You can read for yourself. And under the guiding type of law for compacts, which would be like contracts, this is what it is.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'd like to go back to a comment that you made that the judges render opinions.
Okay.
Why is it that we read in the paper all the time that the federal judge ordered this or that?
They can compel to do something they were supposed to do. You know, it's not, they're not, I don't know how to explain it. I really don't know how to explain it well, but they can. They can compel someone to do their job, to carry out something in line with their opinions. Like Brown versus Board of Education, their opinion was that schools should not have to fall under that separate but equal rule, right? Mm-hmm. For railroad cars, for cafeterias, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. They said in the specific case of schools, that doesn't work. It's a sense of inferiority to the black race, right? So they ordered that, or they recommended that integration in all areas where there was mandatory or legislative segregation, not where it just naturally occurred because of geography, but where it was legislated to be segregated, they ordered that it be integrated. Okay. So now you have the South that refused to do that, so the courts would order that you integrate with all due haste, stuff like that. And they would put these judicial order in place. In fact, the South is still under that. That is why we have these racial quotas, because parts of the South are still under judicial orders to comply with the Brown versus Board of Education. Bick County is still trying, I don't know if they have gotten, if they have closed out that judicial order, but a couple of years ago they still have not. But yeah, so they can order if it's pursuant to, say, a ruling that they had made.
Yeah, I don't say it was right, but I remember in Virginia there were some counties that established their own basically private schools and did away with their public schools. And
mm-hmm.
So there was efforts to avoid
but,
that.
But it goes back to, you know, courts, do they have the power to, you know, make law, make policy, and no one review it, no one...
All right. Do they have the power to legislate from the bench?
Well, no, but that's what they're doing, right, in some of these cases.
You're bringing up some good points here because Hal said federal judges,
mm-hmm.
okay? The states still reserve or still have the right
mm-hmm.
to nullify. And let's talk a little bit about that because you messaged out about the new attorney general, the temporary.
Yeah, Matthew Whitaker.
Whitaker, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You said that he had come out in favor and support for states' right of nullification.
Oh. Oh, he's a wonderful guy. First of all, he talks about the Constitution in terms of a social compact. Who talks like that? This is great. This is great.
This is great.
And I forgot where he came from, but he was in the state legislature, I believe, formerly. At one time. Well, in 2014,
I think he served as a state attorney general, too, in the state that he's from. I can't think which state right now, either.
Yeah, 2014, I don't know if he co-authored, but he pushed two nullification bills through in his state.
Wow.
So, yeah, this guy is, he's one of us, and this is really exciting times. Jeff Sessions, I like the guy. You know, he's just genuine kind of guy, but he never talked like Whitaker talks. I also, Rick, I just came back this past Saturday, November 10th. I attended a secession and nullification conference in Dallas, Texas. And that was wonderful.
You really get around.
I know. It was my first time flying, too. So.
Wow.
So exciting times.
Let's talk a little bit about nullification and how that works for our listeners that don't understand what we're talking about.
Nullification is a natural law principle. And it just, what it means is that if someone makes law or legislative, a body makes law that it doesn't have the authority to make, then that law that it creates is automatically from the start null and void and cannot be or should not be enforced because it is not a law. It's no law. There's no authority to make that law. It is not a law.
Right.
But the problem is nullification, and this is where Jefferson and Madison talked about it, is, well, who's going to, all right, let's take the Alien and Sedition Act back in 1796. The Sedition Act was especially on its face unconstitutional. Who's going to tell the federal government, U.S. Congress, that they passed an unconstitutional law? Because it was unconstitutional and in flagrant violation of the First Amendment, and the Bill of Rights prohibits the Congress from passing a law infringing on, you know, on your First Amendment, they had no authority to make that, to pass the Sedition Act. So technically, right, the Sedition Act from the start should have been a non-law and no one should have had to be to follow it.
Well, isn't that with the role of the Supreme Court to come in and issue an opinion that it was unconstitutional?
It never went to the Supreme Court. Okay. And they were full of Federalist judges at the time. Federalists passed the Sedition Act. The Sedition Act would have been upheld probably by the Supreme Court. That's how scary it was. This is only we're talking about maybe 8 years from the inception of our union. And they were already trying to erode what the founders created. So Thomas Jefferson and now you can't say anything against the government at the time, right? You can't challenge the government. You can't say anything that would cause John Adams or any member of Congress to be in repute, disrepute. So now Jefferson can't even talk about nullification. He can't even say anything that this law is unconstitutional because then he'll be jailed and fined and all that stuff. So he writes these resolutions secret. James Madison writes a bunch of resolutions in secret, and Jefferson writes it for the Kentucky legislature, and it lays out the natural concept of nullification. When they usurp power, when they assume power is not delegated, a nullification is the rightful remedy, meaning that the states, they acknowledge it's unconstitutional, and they do not enforce it on their people in their state.
So the states are sovereign. And
right. So they're, right, they are the co-equal powers, right? There's the federal government and the dual sovereignty and balanced by the states. So the nullification means, okay, so it's not a law. It's not to enforce, but the states have to come out and say it and make sure that it's not enforced. So there's a duty that comes with nullification, make sure that law is not enforced. Or then you have tyranny. That would be the definition of tyranny.
And that's the concept of interposition.
Interposition is the actual preventing of the law being enforced.
Well, how did so early in our history did it come to the point that Madison and Jefferson had to write that in secret?
That's scary, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yeah.
Well,
human nature, and it hasn't changed since the Constitution was written.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because one thing that everybody was seeking, and that was power.
Mm-hmm. But human nature.
But it did scare people enough that made a radical change. John Adams did not receive, did not win re-election. 1800, Thomas Jefferson became president, we had some sanity for a little while.
Yeah. Well, a lot of interesting points and things that people need to understand and learn. We talked about it on our last show with Chip Hughes. A lot of people don't understand that the county sheriff is the highest law official in the country because they're the only ones that are elected. County sheriff can overrule, if he wants to, federal authorities coming into the state and trying to enforce unconstitutional laws. That's state sovereignty again. Because he is an elected official, he serves at the will of the people. He wasn't hired or appointed. He has that power.
Right.
That's
and
right.
A good thing it is, too.
So what if a gun control law comes down, and there are these red flag laws out there, right? If I can call up and say, Rainer, she's not too stable. I think you should take her guns away. And because I made the recommendation, police can go to her house and confiscate her guns. Yeah. So what if there is such a law, and so all of a sudden the police get 70,000 phone calls of all these unstable people? What the sheriff can say, that's not constitutional. I don't think that's right. I will not allow my law enforcement officers to go to anyone's house and confiscate any guns.
And
that's the power of the sheriff.
And furthermore, I will not allow you, so get out of my county.
Exactly.
Yeah, on the CCTA page that comes out on the internet constantly.
The Watchdog, CCTA Watchdog. It's an aggregated newspaper.
Right,
it
had a neat little comment, very short. It says, the D.C. gun carry permits explode after good reason restriction was lifted. So apparently, just recently, D.C. has lifted that good reason restriction, and a lot of people are getting permit to have the gun in their homes there.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we touched on all these subjects today, because I feel like we're getting the word out to some people that may not understand. I know the misconception about the Supreme Court being the final arbitrator and they make the laws. That's a misconception that so many people have. And it's shocking to talk to people and find out the basic things that they do not know about our government.
They're too ready to allow themselves to be restricted inappropriately.
All right, Harold?
Well, I've thoroughly enjoyed it, because I think that I know a fair amount about the founding of our nation and the Constitution, but Diane's explanations of the compact and that sort of thing is really fascinating to me. Thank you, Diane.
Well, we've got to take another break, and we'll come back and wrap this show up.
In a time when personal responsibility is being mocked and minimized, who's really responsible for your safety and security? Who's really readily available to provide protection for you and your loved ones? Law enforcement is not always going to be there when you need that safety most. Are you prepared to keep you and your family safe and secure? I'm Randy Seiler, owner and instructor for Responsible Security, LLC, and I invite you to be that person, to be the responsible one. Contact me at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com so you can be better trained, safer, more secure, responsible. At Responsible Security LLC, I provide personal firearms and security training for a variety of skill levels. Currently, classes are available for obtaining a North Carolina concealed carry handgun permit and for advancing your personal firearms skills.
To find the date of our next class, visit our website at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com.
Remember, your safety and security depends on you first. Visit ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com to learn more and sign up for a class so you can be better prepared to meet your responsibilities.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites, like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
You're listening to CCTA Wake Up Call right here on The Talk Station, FM 107.1 WTKF Atlantic. CCTA Wake Up Call is a production of Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. And you can join us here every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for the best in conservative talk radio in eastern North Carolina. That's CCTA Wake Up Call.
We've had a very interesting show today, hearing from Diane Ruffino and her recent trip to D.C. and some of the things that she shared with us about our founding fathers and our founding documents. And it's just so good to have that knowledge shared. And I urge y'all to please, if you have kids in school, sit down and talk with them. See what they're learning in school. Make sure there's a copy of the Constitution in your house right next to your Bible. And share both of them with them. All right. We need to make an announcement because we have canceled our November public meeting because of its proximity to the Thanksgiving holiday.
And lots of folks are traveling.
Right. People are traveling. We were trying to put together a panel, and it turned out that it's going to be almost impossible for the number of people that weren't going to be here. So we have pushed that off. The next available date that we could get the venue was December 4th, which is on a Tuesday evening, same day of the week, and it will be at 7 p.m. at Stanley Hall Ballroom, where all our public meetings are held. It's going to be a wonderful meeting. We're going to have Lockwood Phillips from the Talk Station, WTKF, and along with Lockwood is going to be Usson's, the host and the panel of CCTA Wake Up Call. And
all right.
We're going to be talking about using media to get the conservative voice out. I think it's going to be a very interesting show, Hal.
Yeah, Ricky told us earlier that Lockwood would bring some of his co-hosts of his shows, that some of the younger participants who maybe know a lot more about social media
as a mechanism for getting the word out than we do. Not you, but me.
Some of the millennials that he has on his show, he's putting together some that he's going to bring with him there. Mm-hmm. And we're looking forward to that because Lockwood's got a great program, a great format there. And We will also have our regular monthly meeting on December the 18th. And that meeting on December the 18th will be the annual CCTA Christmas party.
Good food.
If you've not been to one of them, it's a great time. Everybody gets to interact. There will be elected representatives there that you can mingle with and talk to and ask questions of. And, of course, wait till after the meal because there's going to be a lot of food and they
Adela Johnson's taking charge of that, and I know she's already gotten the offer of someone to do a ham, someone to do a turkey, various side dishes, desserts. She's hot on it, and she's a good cook herself.
Right. It's free and open to the public, and you are invited to come and join us and meet CCTA and find out more about us. Get involved. Absolutely. And that's a good way to find out what we're really like is while we're sitting around a table full of food. Okay, Diane, once again, I thank you for joining us tonight with all that great information. And that's all the time we have for today's show. So we're looking forward to being with you again next week. Come back and join us at the same time here on WTKF.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutrition consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend, and S&D Gun and Knife Shows. Other great supporters are rightwinggranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, and Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 Grantsboro. Also, the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties. Dr. Jay Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue, Responsible Security LLC, and Oriental Dragon Boat Races. Tune in for the CCTA Wake Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.